However, we still have to wrestle with the principalities and the demons in dark places. And, you know, there are many times that we got to understand your prayers, your support can help the one that is trying to help you to be able to be all you can be, that he needs to be the best he can be or she can be as they're standing in this holy position. Now, this morning, I want us to give some thought to this. I've got notes here, but I pretty much know what God has for me to say in my heart. But I want to bring some things together where we can understand and get full understanding of some things that are happening in our world. Well, first thing I have here is living in a world that changes rapidly. All things change. To name a few, in most societies, you rarely see a man, a mule, and an ox in a field. In our modern day society, it's rare. Now, I'm not saying that it won't happen, but it's rare. In some parts of the world, it's not rare, but in these United States, in our world, it's very rare to see a man, a mule, a plow in a field. Amen. I'll reverse it then. I'll say it this way. When is the last time you seen a man, a mule, and a plow in a field? And there's some probably would say, I never seen that. But at some point in time, that was a very regular scene. To see a man, a mule, and a plow in a field. But things have changed. Our world has changed. It is rare to see a woman washing clothes. Now I can stop there. I could stop right there. But I'm going to go a little bit further. Bring it on. A woman washing clothes down to the creek or at a community water hole. That's rare. But at some stage in life, and even some places, it still goes on. But in this room, most of us can say things have. Somebody ain't said nothing. I mean, it's okay. That's the way you want to roll. You roll like that. I tell you the truth this morning, my sisters and brothers. It would be rare to see those things. We are not suggesting that they're not in some parts of the country, some parts of the world. You still will see a man and an oxen and a plow in a field. In some parts of the world, you would see a woman washing clothing down at the watering hole or at the community. You will see that. But through all of our advances, our thriving technology, there is one thing that still remains the same. Just one. I'm waiting for you to know what is that one thing. Have not changed. Turn to Malachi. Malachi, the third chapter, the sixth verse. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the sixth verse, from the King James Version of the Bible, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away and from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, where shall we return?" In other words, God is saying here, I'm still God and I have not changed. Whatever God is like now, is the way that God was for always be. He was that way in the past. He's that way now, and he will be that way in the future. It doesn't matter what happens elsewhere. God always inevitably remains the same. So this morning, we want to preach to you from the subject, an unchanging God. An unchanging God. If God is perfect right now, then it would not seem possible for God to change. Any changes would either add to God or perhaps suggest something new. Now, if I believe that I'm going to serve this God who is unchangeable and always powerful as he is and who he is, if God has to change based upon who we are, then God is not God. If he has to change to our environment, he's still the same. That God wasn't familiar, if he wasn't familiar with things that before it wasn't clear to indicate that God has light, his position of omniscience would be questionable. How would he know everything if something was new to him? Thank you for getting that. How would you serve a God who something came up and you're like, God, you ain't know about this. God, you didn't know this was going to happen. You've been out of shape about a lot of stuff, and God said, I know what you're going through. Because I've been here with it. I saw it before it ever got to you. Lord help me. We're going somewhere with this. Thus, if God was always perfect in the past, is perfect right now, and will always be perfect in the future, then nothing can either add to or take away from God. Some people seem to think that God was more in the past than he is for you right now. But he is still the same. Although it may not seem obvious that any changes would affect God's perfection, it must be remembered that God is the absolute perfect spirit. Absolute perfect. I know in our day, and it's inconceivable that the notion of such high profile can't even exist. How can God be all of that? Because he's God. The Bible says there is none like him. So when you try to look for somebody and compare him with, you ain't going to find nobody. Because there's none like God. But we conduct ourselves just like with God, like we conduct ourselves with one another. Ooh. Have mercy. In addition to being the creator, God is eternal, meaning he has no beginning and he has no ending. You can't wrap common knowledge around that. You putting God in a box. Well, where he start from, he was always there. Well, he got to start from somewhere. God was always God. When he's going to end, he never ends. Everything comes to end, not God. See, I'm trying to get you acquainted with who you're dealing with. See, a lot of times we forget who we're dealing with. We are so self-centered around ourselves and our small little world, we forget about this big old God that we serve. This attribute of God is called immutable. He's an immutable God, unchanging. Follow me as I go forward. Although some of the framework of God in the creation has been altered by the fabrics of which the world is made, either ever passing away like water dripping into a stream, constantly changing. But God is still the same. Watch this now. How many of you realize that the ocean and streams of water have to get their supply from somewhere? Is this too far out? Everything has to get their supply from somewhere. Although it changed, the one that supplied never changed. The one who gave you breath yesterday And you, we had some all kind of changes going on from yesterday until now. But the unchanging God, he still supplied breath. Nobody jumping but me. It's in me, y'all. I'm sorry. He is not composed by the substance of material things as we want to put him in. We simply want to say, God, you're good because you supply me. But God is still good even when you don't get what you want. He's still good. See, some of us got to understand something. Although we're not getting everything we want, God is definitely supplying with what we need. As before mentioned, if God didn't give us breath, what's the use of having them other things? It's like having a bicycle and can't ride it. Everybody remember when you first learned how to ride a bicycle? I had a cousin who used to push his bicycle all the time. I mean, just push it. Good, nice looking bike. And for those of us who knew how to ride, we like, man, your bike can do more than that. You ain't getting the goody out of it. That's too much work for me. I want the goody out of it. So what I learned and tried to show him is ride it. Get on it. Let it take you. You don't take it. Let it take you. And you in control. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you got to see this and understand that God is saying, I got more than you ever need. But you got to let me show you how to ride. Hallelujah, somebody. It's very essential that we understand the purity of our God. So we ask ourselves these questions this morning. Put this down in your notes for those of you who keep notes. I want you to ask yourself this question. Is God still powerful? Is he the same mighty God who spoke the world out of the wombs of non-existence? Do he still have that kind of power? Can God still create things in your life that you've never seen before? Is that possible? Is God powerful enough to take your messed up, trifling life, to switch it around where you start seeing some awesome things happen? Is God powerful enough to take a dark and dim situation and show you the glimpse of glory? Is he still powerful? Is he still that kind of God to you? I'm here to let you know that God is still powerful. The same God that slung the stars in the sky. The same God that strategically placed the moon and the sun to operate in his perspective place. That same God is working wonders in your life. And you got to walk like it. You got to walk like it. You got to let the words come out of your mouth to express that I serve a God who is still powerful. In spite of how our world looks and how things, that my God is still powerful. He's still the Almighty. He still nourished the vast oceans and watches over the sparrow as well. He is still the same God. Yes, he is. He still deserves all of the praise and adoration because of who he is and what he's doing. In Revelations 4:8, the Bible says this. In Revelations 4:8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Watch this now. Lord God, what? Almighty. Almighty. There is none have power like him. Reverence him in holiness because of his awesome power, who was and is and what? Is to come. He was all powerful. He's still all powerful. And to come, he's all powerful. This is our God now. So whenever the devil comes against you, you got to understand that all power not coming from you. The power comes from my God. And I can overcome anything. Which brings us to our next questions as I hasten forward. Is God still holy? Put that in your notes. Now, don't just put notes to make notes. Notes are to make reference back to. Is God still holy? For the Bible says in Isaiah 6:3, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Watch this now. The whole earth is full of his glory. I want to help somebody who feel like they're walking in defeat. The devil just got blinders on you. You serving a holy God. Everything is under his feet. And it's full of his glory. Well, how you get the full of glory with all this mess going on? That lets us understand something. God letting us know that you look in the wrong place. You look in the wrong place. You can't see the full and glory of God watching the 6 o'clock news every day. You ain't gonna see the glory of God. You got to get in his word and got to walk in his wisdom to understand that in spite of all things, I can still see the glory of God. I see God doing something. It could have been me laying over there, but the glory of God still got me in an upright position. I'm not laid out. Y'all ain't helping me here. You got to understand the glory of God is only can be seen through you and I. What are you showing the world? Folk going around, I can't make it. It's hard to get along. What God you serve? The Bible says here is full of his glory. And we are the glory of God. People need to see the glory of God. Look at us. Look at the church. Look at the redeemed. The ones who are overcome by the enemy. The ones who say, you know what? The salvation of God is mine. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You're not dictated by the things of the world. You are separated from that. You are holiness. I'm going to show you something here. You can't serve God under your personal ideas and thoughts. What you think and your opinions. It's tight in here. It's almost like I could slice it with a knife. Holiness of God is a distinction. Can man comprehend the holiness of God? And in every religion, watch this, there is a distinction between that which is holy and what is profane. In most cases, the religious man is one who sometimes is sacred. And holiness requires a distinction that's made between holiness that is of God, very being, and the holiness which reflects the character of the person. You can't just go around walking around telling people you're holy. You got to show them that you are separated. There's a difference in you. You are not what you used to be. I'm holy now. I live my life in holy. Just coming to church don't make me holy. Just because you got a Bible don't make you holy. It's the lifestyle that you live to separate yourself in the things of the world and in the things of God. We don't do everything. Moses said this like this in the comprehension of the holiness of God based upon the natural senses remain. It's insufficient. But Moses said this. Who among the gods is like you? O Lord, who is like you? Majestic in holiness. Awesome in your glory. You workest wonders. There is none like him. Now, you can just look at ourselves and see that once upon a time, we were in a pitiful position. But God's holiness did some things in our lives. Yes, yes, yes. Holiness embraces every distinction, the attributes of each person of the Godhead. The Father is holy. The Son, holy. And especially the Holy Spirit. as the one who provide with an intimate knowledge of who God is. Am I boring y'all? Am I boring you? Because if you're bored, you just have to talk with Jesus. Because I'm just giving what he gave me and try to put it together. You cannot serve God outside of holiness. Watch what you do. Be careful what you say. And be mindful what you're a part of. Is it going to bring glory to God or shame to him? That's what believers have to understand. In all of our ways, we got to understand. If I'm bringing holy to God, that's why sometimes some people will be surprised to see you in church. Not the way you act on the job. Even some of your family members are right now, that's why they're not involved in the church, because you're not showing them God. You can't be a drawing to, because he said he'll do one or two things. He'll draw you or you flee from. And the people of God got to understand, we're going to be drawing them because we got the things of God. Hallelujah. Can I make this a little plain for you? We like to talk about holiness. We like to mention holiness. But our lifestyle don't explain holiness. Watch this. Holiness is a separation from sin. Now, some people say, I don't do sin. You do sin. We all do sin. Don't fool yourself. I'm glad somebody can get your attention. You know? Let me tell you something. Saints of God, the holiness of God is saying that you're going to be different from the world. First part message, if my people. God, so you say what you want. People see me say, well, God love us all, but he ain't say you all belong to him. You can love somebody that don't belong to you. Don't ever walk around and be like, well, I know God. I know God. I belong. I know God loves me. Yeah, he does. But can God depend on you to walk in his holiness? Well, somebody say, well, God ain't going to pick nobody out. Have you tried my servant Job? Yeah, yeah, yeah. God know who he can call on. Some of us too busy in our worldly activities. God can't call you. But you know what he does? He allows some things to get his attention, get your attention. You need me. And if you hadn't gotten there yet, just live. Can I say something to you young, who vibrant, bones are still lubricated well. You're getting around real good. You even can jump a little bit if you want to. Come on, somebody. But you know, how many of you got to understand, you are in the best position there to serve God. Lord, if you need somebody to run, I don't have to look like I'm running. I can run. I don't have to be like, y'all missed that. See, that's a look like I'm running. I ain't running. All I'm doing is putting motions in. Ellington, come here, buddy. I need your help again this morning. My help asleep. I called you. You didn't think I caught you, didn't you? Come here, buddy. Ellington. Come here. Come here. Come here. Well, you just get all the illustrations, though. Can I use your daddy? Say, come here, Pop. Call your Pop. Come up on the stage, Pop. Come. Pop, can you stand right there? You know who that is? You know who that is? That's daddy. Run. Run to daddy. Run. Don't. Y'all know the deal. When you get in church, sit down and be still. If he had his way, he done chunked the pastor in his example. But if he had his way, he can run. But he done been taught that don't run up down that pulpit. Boy, your parents already sigh relief, you know. Yeah, that's it. You know it. But listen, now here it is. He's got the capability. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Y'all stay with me now. He has the capability to run. If some of us, if I call you up here and say, run over there to something, I can get over there. But I ain't gonna run. How many know that God has an assignment for somebody to run? But you gotta be in a position for God to use you. And some of us, God has said, take your time. But just stay on the course and just get there. Are y'all following me here? You see, you may not run like that, but you stay on course. You stay on course. You can't deviate and go to your mess if you want to serve God. He said, for those who worship me must worship me in holiness, in spirit, and in... Watch this now. We're going to go a little further. But you, O Lord, is full of compassion. But here's my last question. Is God still merciful? Boy, I expect to jump in here. Is God still merciful? Or do God give us what we deserve? If God gave us what we deserve, our life would be in shambles. We wouldn't have no life. We wouldn't experience the exuberant power of God when the joy of the Lord just fill you for no apparent reason. The mercy of God does this. It looks beyond all your faults and still claim you as his. God is still merciful. And people got to understand something. Lord, I didn't do right yesterday. I didn't do right this morning. I didn't do right a minute ago. But I thank you that you didn't judge me on what I just did. Your mercy. The Bible says it dureth for. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. If you understood the mercies of God, unlike what man does to us, put these hard restraints on each other, but the mercy of God shows up and says, look, I love you. In the midst of everything you do, I still love you. I can't use you, but I still love you. God is still merciful. The Bible says in Psalms 86:15, but you, O Lord, are God full of compassion and grace, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Well, some of y'all don't understand mercy. Mercy is like this. When I've gone the last mile of the way, and I don't have strength to make it any further, mercy shows up. When it seems like everywhere I turn, hardships and troubles, but mercy come along and gives relief. When it seems like my body just won't get right, and I have aches and pains everywhere, mercy give me a break from that. Y'all ain't helping me here. See, you've got to understand mercy goes beyond what we deserve. We deserve the penalty, but thank God for the mercy. You should have been dead, but mercy came along, held you up. You got to understand that the mercies of God is shown in us, and we have to let everybody know that it's not of my goodness, but it's by his divine mercy. God help us. If we don't understand the attributes of God, the power of God, the almighty power, the things of God that nobody else can do. Nobody. Searched all over. Can't find nobody. Go to the depths of the earth. Ain't nobody can do me like Jesus. Travel from here to there, but there's nobody can do me like Jesus. Anybody in this room have tried him for yourself and understand that he is my God and he has the mercy, power, and endurance to help me through anything when all else fail? God say, try me. And as I look over this congregation of God's beauty, be a flower in the garden for the Lord. I had talked to Mother Hopkins a few days ago, and she was speaking of flowers. She was speaking of flowers. And you know, that just is, you know how you just, the conversation just came out of nowhere. She was saying to me, Pastor, can you see all them flowers? She said, there's so many flowers. She said, you see all them flowers? And you know, she made it so clear. She said, look at all the flowers and how beautiful they are. And you know what came to mind? I was telling my wife about what came to mind as she was telling me that. Heaven must be like this. It's just a beautiful place with flowers. So I don't fret when I got to leave here because I'm going to a better place. Have I got any witnesses in here? Anybody got to understand what heaven looks like? It's a place of beauty. I can't get too fixed on being here because we know the situation at hand. But heaven is a place and it must be like this. Beauty. And she told me this. She said, all I was doing was just waving my hand. Hallelujah, somebody. Quit being so selfish now and see it. All you can do is see beauty and heaven. I thought about a song, Brother Samuel. I thought about the song. Get to that. We all say, howdy, howdy. Heaven must be like this. Howdy, howdy. No more heartaches. No more pain. No more struggles. No more difficulty. Every day will be howdy. Howdy, howdy. Gladness and peace in what our God has provided for us. I thank you for your time because my time is up. They are yours and you have instilled in them. You have trained them. You've done some things with them. So you take ownership in them because they are your children. The expectations that we should have. The Bible says, if my people, God himself is making this statement to his. He don't expect for those who are not his to fall under this category. But he does have something for those who call themselves his. Now, you can get been out of shape about this, but it's just the truth. God says in his word, and you look carefully, God has four things that he desires from his people. The first thing he says, humble yourselves. Humble yourself. Some of us have become too proud and think too much of ourselves and not more of God. Humble yourself before me. Listen now. God is saying to us, you don't know it all. I'm the one who has all knowing. Humble yourself. Secondly, he says, pray. It's not a popular thing in our society to pray. What is not popular about it? Simply because we pray under certain conditions. If things going on in our lives, circumstances got us backed up against the wall, when they call us in the hospitals, when our bodies are not doing the right thing, when economic conditions, but the Bible said men should always pray. Even when it appears that everything is going great, you ought to be praying. Yeah, yeah. Why is that necessary? Someone said in our devotions, and we never know when you might fall into divers temptation. Hallelujah, somebody. Although it looks good right now, all it is just a step away from falling into your next trial. Am I preaching anybody?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then he says, first he says, humble thyselves, themselves. Pray, seek my face. Oh, bless his name. Seek the face of God. Go after it. Now I'm saying, Lord, what is an example, better example of seeking God's face? You know what? I like westerns. I like westerns. I like those old westerns, old black and white westerns. I like the old timey where it sounds like not a whole lot of good sound effects. It's the old western. In the old westerns days, there was people who would go after gold. And you know how they were seeking go after gold? With all their might. They put everything they had in the wagon because they were going to get gold. Going to seek it out. Because they understood what they was going after and what it was, in spite of what they go through, they thought about there is something at the end of what I'm trying to pursue. So they're seeking after something. Every child of God ought to be seeking God and seeking after something. Lord Jesus, y'all ain't getting this thing. You ought to be saying, Lord, I'm chasing after you for something. Last thing it says, turn. Turn from what? Wicked ways. All of us got them. Let me be the first to tell you, your kind, sweet little self, you got some wicked ways. I don't care whether your name is reverend, preacher, archbishop, whatever. You got some wicked ways. Nobody is exempt from the devil. That's why the Bible says you better be praying. You better be praying. Because the Lord knows something, that the devil is going around doing what? Seeking who he can devour. In spite of all the good you do, you got some wickedness in you. Turn from it. Lord Jesus. Turn from their wicked ways. And if God's people would do these four things, then and only then,
yes, sir,
will God do these three things. If my people. Then he says, if you do these things, he'll hear from heaven. How many know that all that we need lies in the gates of heaven? You want peace? Nothing there but peace. You want joy? Nothing there but joy. If you want to be healed, there is no sickness allowed in heaven realms. Hallelujah. There is no lack in heaven. The Bible lets us know every day will be a Sabbath day in heaven. Then it says, then I will forgive their sins. Lord Joel, you don't know how much we need the forgiveness of God. All of us are wretch and none. At the end of the day, you better be on your knees crying out, Lord, forgive me. There's something I know I've done this day that wasn't pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I come to you, and God will be, he says here, I will forgive you of your sins. Hallelujah, Jesus. To recognize and understand that God forgave you, even when man don't, it'll make your enemy your footstool. You can be at peace at night, knowing that there may be folk out there who count you off and say all manner of things. But long as the Heavenly Father have forgiven you. Now, here's the last one. He said, I'll heal the land. This is what we're missing. We want healing, but we don't want to do what it takes to get it. Dr. Edwards, I'm sure, see patients, make recommendations on things they should do in order to better their conditions. And then she might would say, now, I'm just talking about my experiences. Most doctors would say, let me see you in a few weeks or whatever time. Let me see. Why? They want to see how you're doing. They want to see what they prescribe for you is doing any different. But see now, what if you come back to the doctor and the doctor said do some things and you didn't do none of it? And you come back to the doctor wondering why I still feel the same. Oh, y'all ain't following me. Y'all ain't getting there. I've been going to church all my life and I still feel the same.
Look out now. Why?
Something ain't right. Why I still live in misery? Why things are just so hard for me? Why I can't make it? Because you have not gone to the one who can heal. But you come back and say, Lord, I'm still the same. But he said, have you humble yourself? Have you prayed? Have you seek my face? Turn from there your wicked ways. Have you done the requirements to be healed? Something to think about. Have I done what's required of God to receive the abundant blessings of God? Oh, sinners get along. Sinners feel good every now and then. But when sinners get sick, they know they don't have no authority to know that I'm going to get through this. But as believers, when we get sick, we know this too shall pass. I can rejoice in my hardships knowing that it ain't going to be like this always, because I know who my God is. I've already had a talk with him. I know who my Father is. I know who is the corporate of all that I go through. I understand that he knows the enemy well better than I do. And he knows that his time is short. If my people, Lord, help us. What makes us his people? Because he is our God. Y'all know we sing with a group of six guys. We pick at each other. And some of you adults might pick up on this. Some of you might. I always say people don't understand pastor's humor, but, you know, you got to see this if you can. You know, we laugh at each other and say, man, who was that kid who come running up to you talking about, hey, daddy? He said, man, I didn't even know who that was. Hey, daddy. So that was your, hey, my boy. Well, identifying who you are is knowing where you come from and who you are part of. Believers don't want to be known as God's people. We just want to blend in and be like the rest of them. But how many of you remember and recall what the word said? At the appointed time, I'll separate the sheep from the goats. God lets us know that those who belong to me and those who don't belong to me. So if my people, ownership, who's his, what the expectation is of his people. Finally, in your first part message here this morning, finally, it's all about this. If he is your God, act like it. Act like he's your God. Don't just celebrate him when you feel like you want to. One of the things most of us know when we're growing up, you better not act up around your parents. Because you know better. Some of us been following the Lord long enough to know that if I love the Lord, I'll show them, there'll be evidence of who I am. If my people, if you receive that, tell God, thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
get excited about Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Possibilities. What he placed in us. How much he's doing. What he's just trying to work in us. Now, he's trying to work in us. And some of us got to, we got to see that all that he's trying to work in us, we're working against him. Because we want to do it our way. We want to do it our way. Our way. My way. Let's see what God says. He's the absolute truth. There is no other. There's none beside him. And there's no other. Can I preach second half after the same? Are y'all ready to pack up now and just call it a day? It's up to you now. You hold the cards, amen. If you want to go ahead and do your admission and go ahead and leave, you know it's up to you, but there is a part two. I tell you, saints of God, if we don't become real about this, something is coming your way that you can't handle. You can't handle if we don't get this thing in order. Do you love God enough to say that he can call you his? Or your life illustrate that? In the 7 days a week that he gives you, 24 hours each day, are you illustrating Christ in that? Boy, I like that hat, Ellington, boy. That's sharp. That came walking down there looking like the Untouchables. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's receive the praise team as they come. After which, we'll get part two.
When I think of his wondrous and glorious name, his virtue, compassion, and love, I can only declare what the heavens proclaim of a Savior whose power is known. All hail the power,
yes,
of Jesus' name. The heavens and earth do rejoice. Hallelujah, Jehovah, our God, give us strength to declare that our Savior is Lord. He is Lord. When I think of his wondrous and glorious name, his virtue, compassion, and love, I can only declare what the heavens proclaim of a Savior whose power is known. All hail the power of Jesus' name. The heavens and earth to rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jehovah, our God, give us strength to declare that our Savior is Lord. He is Lord. There is no one as precious as Jesus to me. His mercy endureth to all, and his grace is sufficient to all that believe. If only you give him your all. All hail the power of Jesus.
The heavens and earth,
the heavens and earth to rejoice.
Declare that our Savior,
is Lord.
All hail the power
of Jesus.
The heavens and earth to rejoice.
The heavens and earth
to rejoice. Hallelujah.
strength
to declare
that our Savior is Lord.
Honor and power. Strength to declare that our Savior is Lord. He is Lord. Come on, say, He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Come on, the one and true God.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Come on, one more time. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, we worship you and we honor your name. Being our God and our Savior. Again, Lord, we come asking you to stand watch over your divine word. Father God, let the anointing flow from heart to heart. From soul to soul, from mind to mind, that this word will be power from on high. God, we bless you and we honor you in our time together today. We pray, God, that all that we do and say, you get glory out of it. That is our desire. You get glory out of it, and your people will gain strength from it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
We have already established ourselves in the order of preaching. And we thank God for all of you. And we always look into God to give us a word in such a time as this. In a time where you and I need to hear a word from the Lord. I've learned in these years of preaching is that everybody don't have the same level of spirituality in their lives where they feel compelled to be a part of the preaching ministry. Amen. You know, just want to say this as before we go forward, that, you know, even the scripture tells us that it said, can the Lord get a witness? The people respond by saying amen. It was even in the book of Ezra, when Ezra had read to the people all day long out of the Holy Scripture. He said to the people, do you receive that? And I'm paraphrasing that. He said, and the people said, amen. Sometimes I do think that we've come into the place of worship and it falls upon the hands of certain ones to be able to say amen. We preached the last 2 weeks about being a witness for the Lord. Sometimes the flow of your lips in being able to identify with what's being said is to be a witness to it. It's very encouraging to the preacher because even though we